Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Overtone Dragon, and it is the fifth day of the Red Earth Wave Spell, and it is also the Lunar Moon Day 15. And I'm super excited because we haven't really had any drama. I mean, that's not true. You may have had your own drama. You can see collective drama. It's pretty constant. But we haven't had any calendar drama since, I mean, per my standard, it gets pretty dramatic in the third week in the West, which starts today. So we had 1 week in the East, 1 week in the North, and those are more complacent experiences and directions. Things are definitely on fire whenever we're in the East. It's where our mind is really active. Mental activity is the flame, the fire in our mind, in our body. It all is, heat rises. So the top of our body is where most stimulated activity is, and that can feel like burning. And so there is an igniting that happens. The sun rises in the East. So for the first week, we definitely have activity. But then when we move through the North, I think it gets pretty pacific, that there is a quietude and stillness that reflects what the North is, the place of spirit, which isn't really an embodied situation at all. So our bodies are pretty fantastic machines with a lot of activity at all times to keep us sustained in life form. But in the spirit world, it seems like it's okay and easier, and almost the quality of experience is to be adrift and floating and astral and absent of the kind of potency of everyday living, the volatility of everyday living, the pressure of it. So we have that week behind us, and now we step into the West, where the sun sets and the rising sky is blue, and that is why it is called blue in the West. And you know what happens at night. Lots of things we can't see. We have to be more intuitive, use our other senses besides visualizing. We can see the stars, and yet that's a very still, north-like experience to bear witness to the cosmos. They move languidly compared to a waking life. And then there's our own dreaming that happens when the night sky arises, that we go to sleep and we live a surreal experience. The other half of life that isn't actual is, fantastical. I've been rereading journals, and I was really careful to record dreams for a little window of time. I was going through a pretty tragic breakup, and so I would really reconstruct carefully dreams I had about him. And they are hilarious. They're so obviously connected to waking life. You may not dream that way, but my dreams are just, they're not even parables of what's going on while I'm awake. It's just a continuation of what's going on when I'm awake, except it has fantastical elements. It belies feelings and expressions that aren't actually living in the waking life. Maybe the subconscious desires and expressions of a person can show up in the dream time. So it's much more cosmic and multi-layered to move into our sixth sense, to add that to the equation and to add to reality, surreality, which is above reality. I always got really interested in that. So sur is French for above or on. So surreality isn't like underneath reality, it's above it. So it is connected to the spirit world. So when we have surreal experiences, it's kind of the bridge experience between wherever spirit occupies and where this body occupies. So the other thing about going into the West is just, it is the element of water. And water is denser than air where we've been. And certainly, you know, quenches fire, it's opposite of fire where we start in the East. And its fluidity is sort of always in some kind of movement. The process of finding balance, water flowing downhill, eventually hitting sea level, or water changing from being pooled to being evaporated to being condensed in a cloud to being thrust back to earth in a rainstorm. So there's just always some kind of transformation happening, which is why transformation is one of the words for the West. It's all so perfect the way all the pieces interlink. And then, just so you know, like since I'm going around the medicine wheel today, the South is physical in our bodies. The West is emotional. Our watery nature is our emotional selves. And then we come to the South, which is the place of Earth, the place of the body, our body. And it is the condensation of everything that's come before it. It is the concretization of everything else. It is the place of ripening, finishing a process that is churning in the West. And then we're going to just sweeten the deal, create final touches. So the final week of every moon that lives in the South is also pretty calm compared to the week that we're entering now. So to summarize, you can imagine that the first week can be kind of fiery, innovative, it's new, it's the new dawn. But the northern week is expansive. That's not a fast moving pace. And then the West is definitely fast moving because our senses are really alert, adrenaline is rushing, and we are larger than the limitations of waking consciousness or our body. We can be adrift in the dream time. We feel things. And then the South is pretty sedentary and solid. And in that way, it's also still. So this is it. This is why. This is why I get all excited every time we're in the third week in the West. And why do I have to tell you over and over? Because I think it matters and because I care. I do care. It's a caring. I over-explain things because I want you to be okay if it gets really intense this week. I have two daughters, but it seems like with teenagers, you can't really take them aside and talk to them about premenstrual pain, agony, the grief of something dying inside your body. Biologically, you respond to the loss of an unfertilized egg because it is physical death in your sacral chakra, which is a very sensitized part of your physical body, emotional body. So when I had teenagers, I couldn't hold them as I'm holding you. I couldn't. They wouldn't let me, you know? But I'm hoping that anyone of any gender or any age who likes natural time and listens regularly will understand that I'm just trying to give you some support so that if it's a hard week, churned up, transformational, which means there's upheaval, if you feel a lot of emotional vulnerability or emotional instability, and it's happening all around you as well, because there's always our own internal experience or our karmic agreement that we're meeting in the moment, and then there's the ricocheting off everyone else in their internal experience in their karmic moment, and that's, you know, collectively can be extra chaotic. It is always. So I'm just trying to help you and me sort of calm and understand our internal process responding to these calendars, so that if we are like ourselves soothed by the anticipation, the recognition that this is, you know, predestined to be a possibly intense 7 days, then, you know, we're like have a stillness, or we have a serenity with what is, and then we aren't part of the larger chaos, and we can actually be stabilizing for someone else. It doesn't have to do with people following the Mayan calendar. We can be supportive. I mean, I know you know this, but just I'm saying we can help stabilize other people without being like, listen, I just want to share with you that these 7 days, according to Lisa Starr, you know, like, you don't have to do that. You can just be like, wow, I know this is a time of a people. I'm witnessing it in them. Let me just be with them and let them know that their feelings are okay. Their feelings are okay, because this is the time for feelings. I'm pretty hyper. Sorry if I seem irreverent or a little egotistical. But it is hotter than hell, and it isn't even that hot where I am. It's like 20 degrees cooler than where my daughter is. And I'm still like, well, this is a heat wave. So that kind of has sparked me. Like, it's also an overtone day, and I am overtone, and it has always been so. I am rereading these journals. I'm like, oh, well, that's just overtone behavior. I was so hard on myself for being outside of the box, but I'm overtone. And that's exactly what overtone is, outside the box. So let me describe that, and you can learn about the day and then maybe hold on to it for when we get to the overtone moon. Out of the box is what day 5 of 13 is, what the fifth tone of 13 is, because the fourth tone, self-existing, yesterday, is the box, the square. We're doing sacred geometry. The first tone is a dot. The second tone is two dots connected. That makes a line. The third tone is three dots, and connected, we can configure a triangle. The fourth tone is four dots, and connected, we can create a square. And when we get to the fifth tone, the overtone, there's not really five dots. The four dots become a line. And so it's an indication that instead of anything being separate, or that there's this set of anchors, four of them, that everything is now on a continuum. Everything is relatively fluid. It's a stream instead of a shape. But the other way you can think of this is just to continue the count, that the fifth tone could be, you know, 5 points. And then what do you get? You get a star. You get a pentagram. And they always connect to make a circle. The pentagram is 5 points around a pentagon connected by a circle. And so that is why an overtone tone, whether it's the overtone day or an overtone moon or overtone year or overtone person, is out of the box, because it's the box. That's not a bad place to be, or a bad thing to build, a bad thing to want to bring to the world. More boxes, more form, more identification of a foundation. That's self-existing. That's tone 4. But overtone is tone 5, and it's beyond that. I am not bragging about being overtone. There are a lot of problems that I'm witnessing in my journal history about being out of the box and being perceived as too much, way too much. Get back in the box. So I'm having a day of liberation of self, because I have to laugh about my overtone experience. And just to make it a little bit more self-centered, I just have to say I am turning 52 in not long from now. I think we're at 80 days minus 2 days, 78 days away. Yeah, 78, because it'll be an overtone day in 78 is 13 times 6. That's not correct. It's not. 13 times 6, what is that? 65? Yeah, it is. Okay, so 13 times 6. Six wave spells from now, or 6 times 13 days. I'm going to turn 52. It'll be a blue overtone storm day, which I was born on, and my birthday. Every one of us, when we turn 52, has a resynchronization of our Mayan birthday with our Gregorian one, just like when we're born. It's a 52-year cycle that we occupy when we follow both a solar year calendar, 365 days in a calendar, and a 260-day calendar. Takes 52 years for those two cycles to reconvene at the same point. So I'm just like super self-involved because I'm studying what it is to turn 52 for the first time from the inside of it. I've witnessed other people, obviously, and I want to be able to give feedback to those who are approaching that in the future. But I'm just watchful, you know. By being so watchful, it's kind of like looking out for Santa. It takes a long time, or, you know, a watch pot never boils. Like, there's not a lot going on when you're watching. But I feel all these big impetuses to create change and renewal and authenticate my experience. Like, I want to get rid of some of the stuff that isn't obviously as authentic as who it turns out I am, Blue Overtone Storm. So, thanks for listening. It's just, it's happening. It's exciting. 78 days. It's really soon. It'll be over. Kind of like when we hit December 21st, 2012, the downside of the Mayan prophecy, which is so clearly on point. All right, so we're in the Red Earth Wave Spell. If any of that about Red Earth, the Wave Spell, sometimes it matters. No, I just contacted my ex-husband who's a Red Earth. Like, you know, synchronicity is the name of the game right now. And always, let me put it this way, just another aside. I think the longer that you follow the calendar, the more people will come to you, those who don't follow the calendar, synchronistically on their day or in their moon or their wave spell. They will look for you unconsciously because you can recognize that it's their time. And then the other thing is, you might think about people whose days and wave spells arise. You might have extra intense activity or karma with someone during their moon, 28 days of them. And the other thing is dreaming. I don't know if that happens for everyone. That's something you could message me. I just routinely dream about people whose tone or tribe it is. The day I'm waking to is informed in the dream time by people who represent the day's tone and tribe. It's really what keeps me going here, keeps me believing. That's something I could not have done on my own. I think I really love the dream time because it, you can't be blamed for what happens there. You can't say it's someone, you can't say you forced it if you dreamed it. I just don't believe I have that muscle to be like, I'm going to dream that so-and-so contacted me, because then I can be like, you contacted me in my dream, so you obviously care. I don't think I could do that. All right, I'm not getting deep enough into the wave spell, the Red Earth Wave Spell. Synchronicity, just amplified, like trippy. Just heard that song when I was in that store after I was thinking about that person. It's their favorite band. That kind of sort of everyday mundane, and then look for bigger stuff and just desire to move, travel. I'm all about, like, I want to move my whole home, all my furniture. Usually in the Red Earth Wave Spell, I just want to take a trip, but we can't really do that now. I mean, there's the desire to take a long trip, a journey. Like I would drive far away or I would fly, and I'm not doing that in COVID. And so I'm all, well, why don't I just sell my house and live somewhere else? So that's very red earth. And there was an earthquake where I live, but I didn't feel it. But that's the other thing. You know, what is the earth doing beneath us in this time? I'm not going to talk more about it. I'm going to wait and see next time. It'll be the solar day and a portal, red solar serpent. We'll talk about it then. I want to point out, you know, I went into a big, long intro here about being in the third week in the West, but just it's the lunar moon. It's kind of moving fast, I think, just the activity of lunar being the lunar moon within the lunar year, I think, is making this a fast-paced 28 days. And so I'm kind of like, oh no, it's halfway over, this distinguished moon within the magic turtle moon, the moon that matches the year. We only get 28 days of that amplification, and it's halfway over. Sometimes we wait all the way till the end, like it's the crystal year, and we have to get all the way to the crystal moon to feel this amplification. But this time, it's early on, and it's moving fast beneath us, I think. So the lunar moon is showing us, I think I'll say it this way, this podcast, like what's my challenge and what is my purpose? And two piles, because the question for the tone is what is my challenge, but the question for the magnetic tone that precedes this one is what is my purpose. And when we're in what is my purpose in the magnetic tone, we have an unidentified challenge, and so our purpose is to face the challenge, and our purpose is the thing that's our strength, not our challenge. They're both in there in the magnetic tone, and then in the lunar tone we're able to polarize and stabilize because we can see, oh, okay, my purpose is definitely this, and it was here last moon or last tone, but this challenging thing that's been going on is now something I'm understanding better. I'm going to use myself as an example, because who else is there? Just me and the dogs. That's not true. I have friends who are hospitalized. I have friends who are relapsing. I have friends that are depressed, children. I have friends and children that are really motivated and innovative and breaking, you know, ground. Like, it's not all, no one's having all one thing. People that are hospitalized are getting better because they're getting hospitalized in order to heal. So things are coming to a head. That's pretty lunar. It's a pretty blue lunar storm. But, you know, part of my story is currently just like I feel purposeless. I am in a rebirth of such magnitude that I have to stop and just say, hey, you're in the womb again. I was in the womb in this exact energy for 9 months, 260 days, 52 years ago. So, yeah, it's not like I'm a toddler, you know, plunking around on my own. I'm contained and in amniotic fluid of a sort for rebirth. And it's unsurprising in this last trimester that I'm entering that I'm all, man, I just want to move. I want out. I want to take all my furniture and go somewhere else. Like, that seems pretty reflective of a paranormal experience of being reborn. But, you know, this is a COVID identification as well, just like to be adrift is my problem. You know, my challenge is every day I'm productive, but every day is so similar. And my friend said, you want an adventure. She's a clairvoyant. I'm like, you got it. It's funny. It doesn't mean going somewhere. It's kind of the red earth motif, but I want some action. I want some innovation. I want an experience that's unknown. And she said, that's COVID. So I'm empathing what I suppose it's sort of a lot of us are succumbing to or facing. So the blue storm part of this, referring back to the year and the challenges within a lunar year, it's that the storm isn't always going to be outward change, that as we're sort of diminished in our movement, diminished in our choices for activities and, you know, ways to fill our days, then the storm moves inside and the seismic activity happens within as well, and the tremors, disturbances, the release of pressure is happening within our being and then within relationships that are very close at hand. The intimacy of being stuck with each other. And, you know, I really love the old time lifestyle of a, you know, it's romanticized, of course, but like the settlers that like live in a log cabin and have to grow almost everything they make. And a really big treat is one candy at every trip to town. You know, every 2 months you get a candy. That, or a pig's tail is another treat. Like, I really like the paradigm where there isn't a lot of excess. There's not a material excess. There's just the sustenance we need to survive. And I think that's kind of the emblem that's being resurrected now, is a lot of the mentality of, you know, I don't need all of that. I don't need all the distraction. I don't need all the choice. I don't need all the escapes that I had. And many people need more escape than they're getting right now, and it is hard. But the storm seems to me, in my experience or perception, just being like, it's okay to have everything skeletal, to have everything diminished to simplicity. And what I'm also going to mention is that I accidentally anticipated COVID by behaving this way since the beginning of last year, the beginning of the magnetic year. I just chose to only work on crafts and stay home all day, except when I take my dogs for these pretty long nature excursions, and I wasn't seeing a lot of people. And so I'm not seeing a difference in COVID, except everyone's forced to have some of that minimization. And so all I can suppose, since mine started in the blue and the white magnetic wizard year and has continued all this time, everyone's catching up with each other, is that what the whole gestalt of this 13-year wave spell is about. And so this lunar moon that we're in as we move into the west is going to show us even more clearly what our purpose is, separate from what our challenge is. And at the same time, it's going to make it really like a bullet point what our challenge is. And it makes me want to share, everyone, just so you know, time in the womb alone, or time in COVID alone, and, you know, not, I don't have a bunch of disciples that I reach out to, and I'm not pretending that you're my disciples. I just mean I don't have a bunch of disciples of the teachings of the Maya that I commune with. So it comes spilling out here, like, how important it is to validate for each of us this experience. So I should be telling you more rather than being like, yay, we're all in it together. You might be being like, what are we in together right now? We're in the red earth wave spell. We're cruising through the cosmos. Things are pretty like smooth, but there's a speed to it that surprises us. You know, we have so much space around us that we can't see how fast we're moving, how much distance we're covering. That's a perfect example of being in quarantine. And then we're in the lunar moon, and we're heading into the third week, and the lunar moon is a reflection, a distillation, and an exaggeration of the surrounding lunar year that we're going to be in for moons and moons. Identifying what a challenge is doesn't mean learning anew about challenge or a challenge arising anew. It's a challenge that's been there, and we're identifying it, and that can feel relieving and empowering. And it's stark. We can't not notice our challenge in the lunar time. That's what we have to notice. And last thing, a challenge isn't just a roadblock. A challenge isn't just a way we're suppressed and blocked. And it's not just bothersome. It's not just a problem like, meh, I don't like that. It is a invitation to grow. It is insistence that we grow. It's a bar to reach for. It is actually a mountaintop that we're going to scale and find it then becomes a support beneath us. Wow. Thanks for being there. There is something so helpful about speaking in this language aloud, because there's a lot of other dynamic language that we can use, spiritual language and language of the culture, political, sociological, anthropological right now. But it's really nice to have this right in the heart of it. So I'm Lisa Starr, I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, In La Keshe.